This is the sermon for our Tidings of Comfort Longest Night Service on December 20th, 2015.
I have a couple of scripture readings. I chose two from the Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations was written about 2,500 years ago, after the small Judean kingdom was conquered by the Babylonians, and they were completely wiped out, and so they included this book of Lamentations in the Bible. Here are a few verses. This is Lamentations 2:28. Cry aloud to the Lord, O wall of daughter Zion. Let tears stream down like a torrent day and night. Give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite. And then a chapter later, Lamentations 3:55 to 57. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help, but give me relief. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. C.S. Lewis, in his little book, A Grief Observed, that he wrote after the death of his wife, begins this way. No one ever told me that grief felt so like fear. I'm not afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. The same fluttering in the stomach, the same restlessness, the yawning. I keep on swallowing. At other times, it feels like being mildly drunk or concussed. There's a sort of invisible blanket between the world and me. I find it hard to take in what anyone says, or perhaps hard to want to take it in. It is so uninteresting. Yet I want the others to be about me. I dread the moments when the house is empty. If only they would talk to one another and not to me. It is so uninteresting. That is the sentence that stuck out for me when I reread that paragraph as I prepared for this message. After we lost our son Zach, that's what it felt like for me too. I had been interested in so many things. I had many causes, many concerns, lots of opinions, even more than I do now. But after his death, I really had none. Nothing was particularly interesting. And this may be one of the most terrifying things about grief and loss. We may fear that we won't be interested in anything again. I used to think that people who grieve can move through it if they get involved in some new project. And maybe that's true. It looks healthy from the outside. You look like you're doing much better, an observer may comment. But I'm not sure about that, or a lot of things. I'm not convinced that being interested and involved in new things is the only way to go. Sometimes we get involved and interested because we're afraid of not being interested. We're afraid of our grief. And if we keep busy, we won't have to think about it. So there are good reasons to be afraid of grief. It isn't particularly socially engaging. Who wants a sad sack around? And we all know that, so we all know how to pretend or leave the party early or not talk about our loss or loved one or whatever it might be. There's a song by the Beatles that I heard anew after my son died. I never really heard the lyrics until then. Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day. I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. How can I even try? I can never win. Hearing them, seeing them in the state I'm in. How could she say to me, love will find a way? Gather round, all you clowns. Let me hear you say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. It's been said that the pain of grief is proportional to the love for the one we have lost. It is painful, embarrassing, and uncomfortable to watch someone else's love grief, hide it away, is said in various ways. And that is the world in which we live. I think we're becoming more open about, acknowledge the importance of sharing and expressing our feelings associated with loss, whatever they may be. Yet still, we who have gone through that particular dark wood know that for much of the time, perhaps most of the time, our love grief must be hidden away. And so we may come to fear our love grief because of the social cost, hoping it won't spill out and embarrass us at an inopportune moment. So we do what we can to keep it down, to be cheerful, even if not, to put on the game face, to pretend to be interested. And it can be especially challenging at Christmas. But there's another cost if we do not acknowledge our grief and our sadness and allow it to have its place and its voice. Because only when we express it can we release it. If we bury it, it remains and it eats at us. And so this is why I think those who put the Bible together, the canonical authorities, included this very depressing book of Lamentations. It's a book of grief over the loss of their nation, and it's raw. Cry aloud to the Lord, O wall of daughter Zion. Let tears stream down like a torrent, day and night. Give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite. I'm convinced that if it hadn't been for Lamentations, had they not given one another permission, as it were, to let the tears stream down like torrents, that they would have never found anything to be interested in again. They would have never recovered. The biblical authors tell one another to weep in front of the Lord. And I think that's an ancient way of making lamentation a sacred act, a holy act. It is a way to express our love for what is lost. And it is done through grief. And it is done quite openly. And that's why there's this service tonight, a service of the longest night or a service of tidings of comfort. It's a way to gather, to express, to name our own feelings of sadness with others who understand because they've walked through that dark wood too. It's a way to acknowledge grief in the open without any strings. So we need a place and we need regular rituals. And we need conversation partners and friends from whom we do not have to hide our love and our grief. We need a place to say and to hear the name of what or who we have lost and how it still hurts. I went to a counselor after I lost my son, and it was probably one of the healthiest things I did for myself. And one of the strange things about grief, at least for me, was the concern that I was doing it correctly. I mean, how weird is that? Am I normal? I kept asking. And he said, well, of course you're not normal. You're you. But who wants to be normal? He told me that we're not in the fetal position 24/7, that life is much like it was before, except when it isn't. And we can allow that feeling to be whatever it is, to notice it, to acknowledge it, give ourselves a break, because it's tough. There are times when we go back to when the pain seems as intense as when we first experienced the loss. And there are other times when I need to just take time to remember him with that mix of laughter and tears and laughter again. It's so uninteresting, wrote C.S. Lewis. And that's true. And yet, I find, anyway, that when I let myself express it rather than fight it or be down on myself that I'm not over it as if my son were an it, when I allow myself time to reflect or sit or pore over old photos or whatever I need to do to say his name, that it does feel lighter and I can do what I must do next. There's a plus side to loss. I don't necessarily miss all the things I was interested in. I no longer fear that I won't be interested in anything again. I'm a bit more selective in my interests, and I have discovered some gifts in this dark wood. I included another set of verses from Lamentations. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help, but give me relief. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. Again, it is an ancient way, as I see it, of the power of expression. Calling out our grief is a courageous act. It is the act of a big heart. Courage and heart have the same root word, core. It took a big heart for all of you to be here tonight, and I'm glad you are. The road is not so lonely and frightening when we walk it together. Howard Thurman is my favorite Christmas poet. If you happen to come to the Christmas Eve service, you'll hear a lot of him. He recognizes more than most that the depth of joy is related to the depth of sadness. And I particularly enjoy this prayer of courage, "I will light candles this Christmas." I will light candles this Christmas. Candles of joy despite all sadness. Candles of hope where despair keeps watch. Candles of courage for fears ever present. Candles of peace for tempest-tossed days. Candles of grace to ease heavy burdens. Candles of love to inspire all my living. Candles that will burn all the year long.